Welcome to Healthcare Journey Radio. The mission of Healthcare Journey is to be the most respected, valued, and used virtual multiple sclerosis center for all patients, caregivers, HCPs, and payors, providing the highest quality information and services to best manage diseases, conditions, and symptoms. Find more information on Healthcare Journey at healthcarejourney.com. And now, your host, Christine Granfield.
Hello, everyone. My name is Christine Granfield, and I'm your host for Healthcare Journey Radio. This show is, and its purpose is to explore new health and wellness topics each month that might help you manage your multiple sclerosis. And we've explored all kinds of topics so far, such as diets, exercise, acupuncture, yoga, and we'll be doing many more, such as spirituality. And today we are going to focus on Reiki for multiple sclerosis. And we're very excited to introduce our guest, William Rand. William is a Reiki master and is practiced Reiki and taught full-time classes around the world for the past 27 years. He's the founder and president of the International Center for Reiki Training, the Center for Reiki Research, and the Reiki Membership Association. And he's authored numerous books and articles on Reiki, and he's the originator of three forms of Reiki, Tibetan Reiki, Karuna Reiki, and Holy Fire Reiki. So welcome, William. We're very excited to have you on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, great to be here.
So I'm going to, I know absolutely nothing about Reiki, so I'm very excited about this interview. My brother is very interested and does healing touch, and so at some point I'd love to hear if there's any similarities or if that's in this realm or very different, so that'll be something I'll touch upon. But first of all, what sparked your interest? You've been doing this for 27 years. Can you tell us just a little bit about how you got involved in Reiki, but more so from how it's applied to diseases such as multiple sclerosis and patients and people that have that kind of disease?
Sure. Well, when I was 16, 17, 18, I started reading books about, for instance, the power of positive thinking, Think and Grow Rich, and there was, you know, basic concept there that our minds are very powerful, and if we focus them and use them in the right way, we can achieve much greater good for ourselves and for others. We can heal ourselves and heal others and be more creative and more productive and enjoy life more. So there was something like the essence of life there. And so I was curious about things of that nature. And so I started studying various techniques. There was something called concept therapy. It had to do with using positive ideas to heal. And eventually came across Reiki. And I found that to be very interesting and very powerful. And so decided I would devote my life to practicing and teaching it.
And so for those of us who don't know much about Reiki and what it is or what it can and can't do for those of MS with MS, what should everyone know? So if you can start right back at the beginning, because I'm sure there are many listeners out there, some of which know a lot about Reiki and some of which know nothing. So if you can give us some background of exactly what is it.
Sure. Well, Reiki is a technique that comes from Japan. It's not real old. It was developed in 1922. And basically, it's a method for stress reduction and relaxation, and it also promotes healing. And it's done with a laying out of hands. It makes use of something called life energy, which science hasn't quite gotten that down yet to figure out what that is. But most people understand life energy. You can feel it around yourself, in yourself, feel it coming from other people. And when your life energy is strong, you feel strong, and you're less likely to get sick. You're going to be able to heal faster. Your immune system is going to be stronger. And when your life energy is low or weak, then you're going to feel weak and tired and dragged out and more difficult to concentrate and to accomplish things. So Reiki is simply a method of building up or developing, strengthening your life energy.
And so you mentioned laying of hands and strengthening of energy. What does that mean? Do you physically touch people? What happens? So if someone was to walk into where you practice Reiki, what do they experience? Can you bring us through that?
Sure. Well, Reiki is done with a person laying on a massage table. They're fully clothed. And then the Reiki practitioner will use their hands, and they'll either lightly touch or have the hands just slightly away from the body, around positions around the head, the shoulders, the abdomen, the legs and feet. And so they'll just hold their hands there. And the practitioner will then channel or send life energy through themselves into the client. And A treatment feels like a wonderful, glowing radiance. It feels like a loving, secure, safe kind of energy just flowing through you. And that energy itself then actually then will release negative energy in the client, negative thoughts and feelings and emotions. The person often, you know, ends up feeling very relaxed and safe and secure and loved. So
for everyone that's cynical out there saying, oh, yeah, so here's some kind of spiritual or religious kind of thing, and I don't believe it. And honestly, you know, I am very religious. I don't have MS, but my brother does do this healing touch, and I've seen the impact he's done it on me. And you do feel a radiance and a powerful kind of feeling. And does someone inherently have that ability to transfer that energy, or does everyone have it within them and you develop it? And so have you developed it over this 27 years, or did you just inherently have it?
Well, that's something really unique about Reiki, and one of the things that really attracted me to it is that Reiki is a practice that you don't learn in the usual way of learning something, but actually you receive the ability in class through something called an attunement. And the attunement is a somewhat like a ceremony, but it's a method that actually turns on your Reiki energy. And so you might say everybody has the energy, but in some it's more dormant than others. And in this attunement, the energy is turned on, and then suddenly you have the ability. So in a weekend class, you actually can learn and gain the ability to do Reiki. It doesn't take a lot of effort or practice or anything like that. It's like right after the attunement, you immediately feel it and can do Reiki sessions on others.
So if someone with multiple sclerosis comes to you, do they need to be religious in order to feel this energy? Do you have to be spiritual? Does everyone that comes to you feel it, or do some people say, oh, that didn't work for me?
Well, Reiki is not a religion. I would say it is spiritual. Reiki, of course, honors all religions, and whatever religion a person chooses to have, that's fine. But it is more along the lines of something that's spiritual, and it's spiritual because it has to do with love and nurturing and safety, and also the energy itself is almost like a non-physical energy. And so a person doesn't have to be religious. It is spiritual. I would say that most people feel it when they receive a session, and that most people feel it when they do it. But it's kind of interesting, even people that are doing Reiki sometimes aren't feeling it, and yet the client feels a tremendous energy. So I would say yes, most people feel it, but then even those that don't have a positive effect from it.
So for people with MS, I'm sure you've, over the 27 years that you've done this, you've come across many people with multiple sclerosis.
Yeah.
Would you say, have you seen specific improvements, or what could you tell people with multiple sclerosis? What could they potentially walk away with that might help them with their manage their symptoms?
Sure. One of the things with MS, like most illnesses, is that in addition to the physical symptoms, there's often stress and anxiety and tension and discouragement and depression and things like that. And Reiki helps to release that. So the secondary effects of the illness actually are released so that it becomes easier for the person to deal with their condition from a place of confidence and strength and so forth. So that's one of the things that Reiki does virtually for everyone, is to release stress and anxiety, depression, transform them into feelings of confidence and well-being. So that would be one of the primary things that it would do. And then also, the Reiki tends to, because it relaxes the person in a very deep level, like in the core of a person's being, it allows the capillaries and the blood vessels to relax, and so the person's circulation is increased. And so it tends to carry away toxins more efficiently and to deliver nutrients to, you know, the cells of the person's body. So because of that, the person becomes healthier. Also, Reiki is working sort of on an inner level of the person's being, and it activates the person's own ability to heal and to reduce the symptoms. And so because of that, it also helps the person to feel better and to function more effectively.
And that is a really interesting point and a very important point. I think in a lot of the, you know, whether it's yoga or healing touch or Reiki or a lot of these acupuncture, a lot of this is kind of influencing the mind to heal the body. And it's a very, as you said, I think you started out with the mind is a very powerful tool that can heal us.
Yeah.
And I think we hear certainly from a lot of people with MS that one of the primary factors of this disease is stress, because there are so many different symptoms of it and there's no logical pattern. Every person is different. So you can't say I have MS, therefore this is going to happen and I can expect this. What you have is I have no idea what's going to happen or what's around the corner, and that causes a lot of stress. So I think
right.
something like this can be a very positive impact to help people focus on spirituality and healing the mind to help decrease the symptoms. So that's a really great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Sure.
What is the most dramatic improvement? And it doesn't have to be somebody that has had MS, but what's the most dramatic improvement that you've seen in one of your in someone that's come to you over these 27 years?
Yeah. Well, one woman had MS, and basically, she did Reiki on herself. She received Reiki sessions. And over a period of time, all of her symptoms went away.
Hmm.
So even though she was still diagnosed with MS, she was symptom-free. And she had a wheelchair, and eventually she didn't need the wheelchair, and she sold it.
Hmm.
And then one day she was walking down the street, and she saw a woman in a wheelchair, and that was her wheelchair. So
wow.
It was, you know, pretty dramatic for her. So I would say you can't say she was completely healed, but her symptoms were gone. So
exactly. Yeah.
It's very similar.
And I think, you know, that's an important point, that, you know, there is no cure. So for everyone listening out there with multiple sclerosis, if someone is telling you that they can cure your MS, then they're likely a snake oil salesman. So there's no cure for MS, but what we're trying to accomplish with whether it's diet, yoga, acupuncture, exercise, your disease modifying therapies, all of these are components to managing and you know, and to the point of almost having your symptoms go away. And the point that we want to get across is that if you put, we've had so many people write into healthcarejourney.com and tell us that by changing their diet, by really improving their exercise regimen, by doing all of these things, whether it be Reiki or spirituality, they are able to improve their lives and their quality of life and reduce their symptoms. So for anybody sitting out there that's either very depressed over their diagnosis or feeling helpless or powerless, you aren't. You have the ability to try all of these things, and that's why we have people, experts like William Rand, to direct you to the appropriate people that really know what they're doing, so that you don't have the snake oil salesman out there, and you do have people that are very powerful in their modalities and can really help you. So thank you so much, William. So, and that's a really dramatic story. So I hope people listen to that and can try things like this. So when they select someone for Reiki, though, William, obviously, you know, being able to go to you is fantastic. But what about people that are all across the country that don't quite understand Reiki, don't know, you know, do you go to call a Reiki center? Like, how do you find somebody that has, that is qualified and that even more so knows about multiple sclerosis?
Well, what you would do is, there, you know, some questions that you can ask, and just ask, you know, when did you learn Reiki? How long ago was it? Do you have a regular practice? Is it part-time, full-time? Of course, if they're full-time, it's probably better. Part-times are very good, too, though. And who did you train with? And what level are you in the system of Reiki? There's level one, level two, then there's advanced, and then there's the master or the teacher. So
what level should they be?
Well, you know, my experience with Reiki is that even people with level two can really provide a lot of help. But usually if the person is serious, they will have gone up to the level of the Reiki master. So usually a master, but like I'm saying, even level two can do a lot of good.
Okay, so does someone just Google Reiki master, you know, Reiki master, you know, in the town that they're in? How do they find these people?
Yeah, well, that was a question I had, and a lot of people, you know, asked me about too. So that's why we started the Reiki Membership Association. And we have a membership association. It's got 2,600 members, and they're all over the country, and they're organized by state and also by zip code, and they abide by our code of ethics. They have the minimum training that we require, that they are all Reiki masters, and they make use of our training materials, and we consider them to be well-trained. So you can go on our website, reiki.org, and then just right near the top there, there's a link to take you to the membership list. And then you just find your state, click on it, and we have other countries in there too.
Perfect, so, perfect. Yeah. And we will, as always, we will do kind of a summary of this interview, and we will post it online so that people will have in print the website, as well as obviously hearing Reiki.org. So that's fantastic. So people can go there and kind of find the right thing. And another thing, and I think you mentioned this before, but one of the biggest symptoms of multiple sclerosis is fatigue. So can Reiki help fight fatigue, and how so?
Yeah, Reiki is really good for fatigue. Fatigue comes from different reasons. Of course, MS has its own, you know, reason to have fatigue. But fatigue can be multiplied or, you know, get even worse if you've got anxiety or worry or fear or anything like that. So Reiki is very good for releasing those negative emotions. And also Reiki is extremely good for relaxing the body. And fatigue comes from stress. You know, muscles are tense. And it releases that tension. And so often a person might feel that they're fatigued, but if they just receive Reiki, they go into a deeper state of relaxation and suddenly they realize, oh, I do have energy. I do feel good. So, and then the life energy, you know, MS tends to drain a person's life energy. So Reiki restores it, so they'll have, you know, a stronger feeling of well-being and energy. So it does... It does increase and help a person with fatigue.
So is there any clinical data that supports the benefit of Reiki for just in general for any disease or for MS? I know, and I may be misquoting, but I believe that even the National MS Society in their types of exercise and different alternative therapies, I believe that they even mentioned Reiki. And I've heard it in other arenas mentioned in conjunction with multiple sclerosis. Is there any data or any clinical trials in the works where they are, you know, I know they're doing some research for yoga and MS in a clinical setting, for acupuncture. They're starting in different areas. Is there anything for Reiki?
Yes, absolutely. I started a website and organization called the Center for Reiki Research, and it is staffed by 7 PhD-qualified scientists. And one of the first projects that we got involved with was taking all the studies that had been done and published in peer-reviewed journals and then summarizing them and putting them on our website. So one of the issues, I think, with scientific research is often you need to be a scientist to understand what the paper is all about. Mm-hmm. So these studies have been summarized into layman's language, and anyone can go in there and read the summaries for all the research that's been done. There's been over 100 studies that have been completed. Many of them were well done, and many of them produced positive results. So... the thing is, most of them, though, were what you would call preliminary studies with small sample groups. Mm-hmm. And but they are indicating that Reiki is providing positive benefit for pain, for insomnia, for wound healing, for headaches, stomach aches, a variety of things. And it does help MS, although there has been no study specifically for MS.
Okay. So and there's none that you know of in the near future?
Well, the thing about Reiki at this time is that what we're trying to do is just demonstrate that it does exist and it does have a positive benefit. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any studies at this time for MS, but certainly they could be set up.
Okay.
One of the things that we do is we help people who want to do a study make sure that it's done according to scientific standards.
Right. Right. And you mentioned that you're the originator of, or I mentioned that you're the originator of three forms of Reiki, one of which I can't even pronounce. Is that U-S-U-I? Is that Yusui?
Yusui.
Oh,
Yusui.
My goodness, I got it right.
Yeah.
So there are many different forms. How many different forms of Reiki is there?
Oh, well, originally, Sui was the main form, although in Japan, at the time that he developed his style, there were at least four other styles. So there were multiple styles even at the beginning. But now, when it got to the United States, people in the U.S. are very innovative and creative, and so now probably there are several hundred different styles. Although most of them aren't real well known, the Yasui Reiki is the main style it's practiced.
And for people with multiple sclerosis, is there a certain form or forms that you would recommend that would be more beneficial than others?
Well, at this time, what I would recommend is the Holy Fire Reiki. And this was developed, actually, I didn't really develop it, but it was came to me, you'd say, channeled it. About 2 years ago, and it seems to have a much higher frequency, and the energy is much stronger. And it has a very uplifting spiritual effect, so people feel happy, filled with joy and love and kindness. So it has that very uplifting, beautiful kind of energy to it. I would recommend that.
Okay, and on your website, on the Reiki.org, if they go in and look at, who are the masters in their area, is mm-hmm. there, does it say what they specialize in as well? Would they be able to say that they're also involved with Holy Fire, with that form?
We have a special list of Holy Fire Reiki masters, and I think there's 2,300 on the list.
Okay.
So you can go down through there and you'll find someone in your area.
Is there any form of Reiki that people should stay away from if they have multiple sclerosis that may not, because based on the conditions of the disease, that may not be helpful?
I don't think so. I think the main thing is just that the person is a competent practitioner. They've had adequate training and experience.
And so I did speak with somebody. I was telling them that I was going to be doing this interview with you, and they said Reiki hurts. So is there a form of Reiki that hurts where the pressure is intense or?
No.
No.
Reiki, I don't know what the person was talking about, but Reiki is it's a very light touch. There's no pressure whatsoever.
Okay.
And you can even do it with the hands even an inch or so away from the body. So there's no, it's not manipulating tissue or anything like that. It's not like massage.
Okay.
It's just the hands are just very lightly touching. And then this beautiful energy kind of flows through the hands into the person. And they feel very relaxed and calm and peaceful. The only time that a person might feel something that could be interpreted as pain, which not really pain, but sometimes people have emotional reactions. So they may have sadness that about something that happened a long time ago that's kind of stored in their body. And they relax, and that sadness comes up. They may start crying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a very therapeutic type of crying, and it's a release of all that sadness. So sometimes people will have things like that happen. But basically, it's a very enjoyable, soothing, relaxing kind of experience.
So it doesn't hurt. It's soothing and relaxing. It could mm-hmm. potentially help people with MS manage or reduce their symptoms.
Yeah.
And it sounds fantastic. So why isn't everyone with multiple sclerosis doing this?
Reiki is relatively new. It did start in 1922 in Japan, but it didn't really get going here until the 90s. And so it's just starting to become more popular now. So.
And is it ever covered by insurance?
I guess it depends on the type of insurance. I have heard a few instances where insurance paid for it.
Okay.
It would have to be prescribed by a doctor usually. But some insurance programs have a very broad type of coverage, and I have heard of a few, but mainly it's not.
And so I know, obviously it depends on which area of the country that you're in, but let's say you were, an average ballpark, maybe you can tell us what you might pay on the West Coast for a session. For how long does a session last, by the way?
Yeah, a session is usually between 45 minutes and 90 minutes long.
Okay.
And it usually costs somewhere between a low as $50 up to maybe $150.
Okay. And, you know, do people typically come long-term? Do they come and try it? I would assume you'd try it and see if it has any kind of impact. You know, do they come to typically two sessions, and if they feel it's working, do they go long-term or 6 months? What do you typically see?
Well, that depends on the person, I suppose.
You know, would they come for maybe two sessions and I mean, have you had people that have stayed with you for years and years, I suppose, and are there people that just come for one session? Okay. So there's no, like, specific, like you say, you know, you need to do this for 10 sessions to really see an impact.
Well, I think some practitioners are tuned in enough, I think, that they could say, oh, this is going to take four sessions or three sessions or something like that. But usually a person will come until they feel that, you know, they're done.
Right.
Some people will come on a regular basis, like massage. People get a massage every couple of weeks or something like that. Some people like to get a Reiki session every couple of weeks.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm.
All right. Well, is there anything that, you know, that I haven't covered that you think is really important for people with multiple sclerosis to know about Reiki?
Well, I think one of the things is that anybody can learn it. It's not dependent upon a person being particularly spiritual or having a knack at anything in particular. It's something that, like I was saying earlier, you just take the class. In the class, there's the attunement. The attunement actually gives you the ability. It you know, starts the whole process working, and in the class, you'll have Reiki right away. So I think that's almost a miraculous sort of thing, that you can receive something like that without years of practice, but you will become a healer in class and be able to actually help others, help yourself. So I think that's also another thing about Reiki, is that you can treat yourself. So you can take a class and then begin giving yourself Reiki sessions, give yourself a session every day.
And that's a great point. So if you can't afford to go, you know, to constant Reiki sessions, you could go to a few, learn it yourself, and then practice it in your own home. So that would be fantastic. Well, thank you so much, William. This has been, you know, so interesting to learn about this. And I hope for our listeners that you've learned a lot about Reiki and that you will try it. You know, you've got nothing to lose. So if we combine all of the elements of your diet, your exercise, your medications, yoga, spirituality, anything that you can do to pull it all together and really help manage your symptoms, we're going to try and get you that information. So thank you, William. We really appreciate you being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Enjoyed being here.
Thank you. Take
care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.